Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City. Only now I'm in Florida for the winter. And I'm calling in from Boca Ciega Bay and the Turquoise Desk. And this is Access Astrology for this lovely week of February 22nd through March 5th. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are going to talk about the heavens above. I'm looking for Heather and Mark to pop in and hang on and join me. In the meantime, we'll get started with what's going on above us. It's kind of a busy week this week, pretty contentious, frankly. A lot of energy in the heavens where things are arguing, fighting, crabby, that kind of energy. And that happens for a few reasons. One, Mars is out of bounds in Gemini, answering to Mercury in Aquarius. Now, Mercury in Aquarius is about to meet Saturn, the lord of karma, the lord of decisions, the lord of ideas, and he's going to say, yeah, I don't think so. So there's a lot of energy with Mercury finishing a big cycle as he meets Saturn, but also for the last five and a half, six years, Saturn has been in his favorite signs, Capricorn and Aquarius. And in a couple days, on March 6th, he shifts into Pisces, leaving behind the Capricorn planets for 20-some-odd years until he gets back into Capricorn down the road a piece. So this is a really big decision. A lot of people will be making decisions this week and all next month about the direction and the course of their life. And with Mercury coming to Saturn this week, it's decision time. Now, a lot of times, you know, we can kind of kick the can down the road. We can take a different, we can pause, we can go in a different direction. You know, we're not necessarily forced to make a decision, but we are definitely invited, encouraged, whatever. But this week, we're going to be making decisions. And as Mercury meets up with Saturn, he says, okay, you know, and Mercury's in his exaltation, and he's ruling that Mars. So there's a lot of energy there around him ruling the Mars and encouraging Mars to make, you know, to agree with him about the decision. And so we have this shift and change. And then Mercury dives right into Pisces. And he kind of makes the decision and think of him in the air, and he dives into the water. And he goes, okay, I'm out of here. And, of course, when Mercury's in Pisces, he's very drifty, dreamy. It's not a sign he likes. So there's a big shift and change happening. And I think we have Mark Woltz on the line. I think I just turned him on. Mark, you there?
Yes, hello, Ann. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? How are you doing out there? And where are you, in New York?
In New York, we got our first flake of snow.
Yay!
That's
exciting.
Hard,
okay. Very cool.
Yeah,
we like flakes of snow. Yeah, they're good. Yeah, it hasn't been a lot of snow this year up there, right? Yeah. Definitely snowy winter. And it's not really sticking, I understand, because it's so warm it melts. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's in the 30s.
Yeah. So it has to have a little bit more cold to have it stay. Yeah.
Otherwise,
it hits those sidewalks and melts. So we need more consistent cold for sticky snow. So. But I was just talking about Mercury meeting Saturn, and, you know, and of course Saturn's been in his two signs, Capricorn and Aquarius, for the last 5.5, 6 years. And now, you know, he's going to go into Pisces, but this is the last chance Mercury has to talk to Saturn. So it's a big week, I think, for people making decisions about the direction of their life and where they're going, because that Mercury-Saturn has a choice. And then, of course, Mars is retrograde, right? Been retrograde back and forth, but he's been in Gemini, and he's answering to the Mercury. So we and he's out of bounds. So we have this energy of, okay, I've been back and forth. Do I do it? Do I not? Do I do it? Do I not? And he goes, do it. And so, it's very much decision time, you know, in terms of the direction that we're heading in and how we get there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Decisions.
Say again?
Saturn loves decisions.
Yes.
Even if they turn out to be a mistake.
Yeah. And he's
it's
like,
okay,
finally,
Saturn,
you're making a decision. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's kind
of
in this
Saturn
really...
and Pisces. It's the worst place for Saturn to be making decisions.
Right. But he's making the decision while he's in Aquarius before he goes into Pisces. He and Mercury are both in Aquarius, very clear before they dive into Pisces. But that does give them real clarity around the decision. Then the implementation, you know, there may be a little problem with, because Saturn's in a sign he doesn't like. But they're making decisions and saying, this is the decision I'm going to go with. So that's the part I'm kind of focusing on, because Mercury's met up with Saturn every year for the last 5-6 years while he's been in Capricorn and Aquarius, and he's been encouraging decisions, right? And now he's like, okay, now I'm actually making it. And now this one's going to stick because Mars is, you know, taking action and out of bounds and really pushing things. So I'm kind of really interested what, you know, and how they get there, you know, what that next chapter looks like for them. But what have you been seeing in your clients and in the world when you've been talking to us people in about life?
Actually, overall, a sense of optimism,
mm-hmm.
even though there's a lot to not be optimistic about. It's
mm-hmm.
still the decision to be optimistic. And I'm seeing a lot of people taking that decision, going against
mm-hmm.
their observations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And kind of giving themselves permission to go forward, right? Yeah.
Right.
Into a new chapter. Yeah. Yeah. We also have Venus meeting Jupiter in Aries.
Yeah,
and,
Friday.
You know, which is big too, because, you know, she meets Jupiter's in a new sign, starting a new 12-year cycle, and Venus meets up with him and says, okay, this is the vision we have for the week. This is what we're going to do. So there's a real directness about her when she's in Aries. I was sitting tonight watching the sunset. I was talking to a friend on the phone. And then as it got dark, Venus and Jupiter were right in the sky. It was really beautiful because they're conjunct. Mm. They're getting closer and closer. The other day when the moon was there with Jupiter, it was really brilliant. But now Venus and Jupiter, when you watch the western sky right after sunset, you'll see them getting closer and closer. It was like this little twinkling mass of light. It was really cool. So it's well worth it to stay up and watch, you know, to watch it and go, look at all that stuff over there, because you really can really see it, you know. So.
Yeah, well, right, they will conjunct on Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Mercury, you can also see Mercury up there too, because he's an evening star also. So it's kind of interesting. Or actually, I guess he's not an evening star anymore, because Sun's in Pisces. Never mind, take that back. It's Mercury and it's Venus and Jupiter. So. But energy in the heavens, what's going on? And so what do you think of Venus and Jupiter doing with the two of them getting together?
That's always a nice energy.
Mm-hmm.
Venus, it brings out the melty part of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And Jupiter says, let's have more. More melt.
Yes. More fun stuff. Yeah. Let's include, let's expand. More love, more money, more abundance, more joy. Right? All that, all those words. So
it also usually shows up in finance. Things go well financially.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So she amplifies it and gets it going. And they're in fire, right? So that is a launching energy that kind of encourages expansion and new ideas and direction. So kind of fun. I mean, I think it's an interesting week. I'm not real thrilled with the moon in we've got Uranus still hanging out on that world point where he's been, seems like forever lately. Running through Syria and Turkey, so that's all the earthquakes. And actually, there's been a lot of earthquakes, I think more than normal.
Yeah.
But the moon, when it goes into Cancer on Wednesday, activates that too. It forms a sesquiquadrate. Is that right? No, a semi-square, rather. A semi-square to Uranus and Taurus, which is, again, a stressful activation. So we'll see how that shows up. Because that should be pretty intense too. So, but there's a lot going on up there. So I do find in weeks like this, people need to remember to breathe and kind of think about you know, what their choices are or why they're making the choices they're making.
Well, definitely on that Venus-Jupiter conjunction, do something sociable.
Yes, totally. Something sociable and fun. And that's the end of the week. So there's a vibrational astrology conference in Gainesville this weekend, which, of course, is more the moon in Taurus. The David Cochran and School of Avalon, David and Faye are hosting on vibrational astrology. So that'll be fun. But also, like, new ideas. And we're getting into that section of the sky where we're going to feel a little more springy. You know, I was in Cincinnati last weekend and there were daffodils and crocuses up because it's been very warm in Cincinnati too. And the flowers are kind of blooming. And it's a little early, you know, it's still Pisces sun. We're good for another winter freeze. But the energy of, you know, new beginnings is very much kind of feeling. We're kind of feeling that energy in a way. So. It's interesting. So, any other observations you have about the week ahead?
Well, Venus will conjunct Chiron on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
that can often show up in sibling kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So you may get some messages or some insights into your sibling relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, especially with Mars and Gemini, right? So a lot of people make decisions and choices and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. Decisions and choices about how to proceed, right? So,
right.
Kind of big. Lots of change. Lots of change. So hard. You know, it's kind of a hard energy. Chiron Venus is also a little bit wounding, you know. A little hard.
Yeah.
Mhm. A sharpness. I think of Chiron as having it. You know, we have the wounds we have, which everybody has them. And then it's kind of like, well, you know, how are you working with it? You know, what does it activate for you? You know, so.
And wounds when they involve siblings are a special kind of wounds because siblings have certain permission that other people don't. You know, both digging harder and also bouncing back better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kind of give us a different way of thinking about things. Yeah. And also, because they're from our childhood, they can be a little older, too. Because, you know, they're wounds that initiated way back then. So, and I am seeing a fair amount of sibling stories, you know, when talking to clients or children, you know, children arguing and having sibling fights. So, yeah. Kind of do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. All right, well, let's maybe take a call from a listener. What do you think about that?
Good idea.
Let me pull one up. All right. Hello, 503-490, you're on the air. How are you?
Hi, thanks. I'm 814-1981.
Wait. You're going a little fast. I got to get my little keyboard going here. Okay. August 14th,
1981.
81, great. And time?
2237.
2237. And location?
San Diego, California.
San Diego, yay. Okay. And what's your question for us today?
Thanks. I've got something big coming up on the 9th through the 11th, it looks like, in my chart. And I was wondering if all the hard work I've paid my dues into is going to pay off in my favor this week, next week.
On the 9th, you're looking at Thursday the 9th. And did you have a specific thing you were thinking was coming in, was paying off? Saturn on your midheaven by perhaps, yeah. Nodes of fate on your Juno, yeah.
Sort of
Mars.
A legal dispute with sort of a legal dispute with the government.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the government is the 12th house, 10th house, rather, and you've got Pluto on the node there, right on the node, right? And then you have Saturn on your midheaven at 2952. So Saturn is going over that midheaven, and it's in the, and you have that Jupiter-Saturn in Libra in the 6th, which is work, Vestas, right next to your Vesta, which is property. And you do have Venus in Virgo, to your point. I've been working really hard to get this to turn out okay, you know, because Venus in Virgo works hard, and she's in Virgo's house. You still living in San Diego, or are you living somewhere else?
I'm living north of there.
But you're basically in the California line. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you've got good aspects.
Yeah, I'm where my ascendant's in Aries now.
Yeah, because you're zero Taurus when you're there in San Diego at 1157. Okay, yeah, I mean, there's nice aspects. My only concern, and it's not a huge concern, is the South Node, where you may not get a resolution for this until the eclipses happen. Like, they may do something, because when you're having the decision on the March 9th, your Juno is at 29 Aries, and you've got planets at the degree of the eclipse that are happening in May. So you may not get a ruling, or you may not get a final settlement thing until April 19th, just because of the way your chart is right now. But the Juno there,
okay,
in the first house with the new moon eclipse right on your ascendant, that's helpful. And obviously, if you were working on, and of course, the eclipse is at 29 right on your ascendant, right? So that it's a new moon eclipse, but it also starts stuff, and the nodes are angular. So this has been a long process you've been working on. We also have, you've been working on this a while. Yeah, the series is on the Virgo, which is helpful. So is it like a land thing or something with real estate?
No, like,
because of the Virgo?
It's like a disabled veteran thing. And so if I have to invest more effort into it on the 9th, mm-hmm, how can I try and hit the target that I want on the 19th of April?
Well, the 9th, what happens when we get, you have the Sun-Venus conjunction in the house of health, you know, the 12th house of health for service. So that's August 13th. So you're starting a new 8-year cycle around money and value. And last October 22nd, you would have had, that would have been in the workhouse or the service house. So those are time frames. And then the day you're asking for next is what, April? March what?
On the Aries
April
new moon
19.
In
the
April
Aries
19th,
okay,
when
okay,
this should resolve. If I have to
yeah,
invest
April,
more time or effort
no,
into
no,
it in the
yes,
meantime, is there anything I can do?
No, the April 19th one is a really nice one for it really finalizing and being ready to go, because you've got a lot of stuff yes, then that says, okay, we're ready. I mean, they may give you something you need to do, but April 19th is good, and then you've got huge aspects. It trines your Sun and your Mercury in the fifth house, which is the 12th house of the body. So I think you get,
and
I think you get a
Leo,
yes. Your Sun, it's right on your Sun in Leo, yeah. And it goes back
fantastic,
to August of 19, August of 15, August of 11. So those are times for it, yeah. Mark, what do you see? What are you seeing?
Yeah, and overall, you have a good energy for working with eclipses. So just work them. Let things go. Realize doors are opening. And look to the
yeah,
open doors, not the closed ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're having a nodal square.
If the door is closed,
you know,
just pass right on by. You know, don't knock at closed doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it looks good. But also with the eclipses, they're squaring yeah, Juno in Scorpio. Your Pluto's going to go into Aquarius and square Juno, which is kind of a change in your partnership energy. So that also would be revising stuff. So I think it looks good, frankly. you know. Mark, do you see other stuff? I think the moon in Virgo kind of speaks to it too. Your progressed moon's in Virgo right now.
That's right. And it's a full moon in Virgo tomorrow.
Yeah. And
the forecast I got was I should be checking my entitlement.
Checking entitlement on the full moon? It's not a full moon
that's
tomorrow.
Right.
It's an opening quarter moon. It's moon in
Gemini. Sorry. I meant Tuesday, March 7th.
Yeah, it's in March. Okay, yeah. Yeah, the full moon has an energy of, you know, but it also, the full moon takes us back to the Virgo moon in 21. Is that when you started filing this or working on getting this moving forward?
Yes.
The new moon in 21, yeah. Yeah, because that was the conjunction for the full moon that we're going to have on March 7th. And so there was that was the initial moon, and then we had the opening square in Gemini time, which would have been last June time frame. And then now we have the full moon, and then we have the closing moon, which is in December. It'll be December 7th.
Next
so we
December.
Have this fuller,
okay.
this fuller lunation cycle that we run. And also with Pluto, you've got one node in Aquarius and one node is in Capricorn. So the Pluto's on that Capricorn, which kind of pushes it. And your midheaven is shifting out of Aquarius into Pisces, you know. So Pisces, I mean, it is got, the, you know, a lot of times Pisces has an element of disabled to it because of the 12th house nature of it, you know, where we're.
Mm-hmm.
So that midheaven shifting can do it too. Yeah. Mark, you see anything else you want to comment on? I feel like I've talked a little too much.
No, you can rely on, you're going to present the case well. Work with your natural sense of Venus and Virgo and get everything exact.
Yeah. You got all the detail, yeah.
Yeah.
You get a little better if you don't live in California. You know that, right? Because you're living all those sixth house planets are really amplified in California. So you might actually have better health if you lived somewhere else a little further.
With my first house being in Aries, my ascendant mm-hmm. makes me so much more of a warrior in my home here mm-hmm. where I am now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. But you also have Mars and Cancer ruling that. So when that moon shifts and changes, the progressed moon changes,
it.
You're going to, yeah, you'll really feel the change. So 6 months ago or 5 months ago, you got really into the details and moved it. But that progressed, you know, it just because of all the sixth house planets, I mean, there's, you know, a couple malefics in there and Venus is in her detriment. So like charts like yours, I would often say, you know, chronic health stuff can be a little eased if you live somewhere other than California. Like move those planets out of that house, maybe put the sun in there and it'll help you, help your health. I had a vet who, you know, he bounced between New York and I want to say Montana, someplace out west. And he had very different health outcomes depending on where he was and very different health. And he actually was much healthier when he lived in New York than when he went back, you know, to where he was born, even though, you know, that was where family was. So it, your chart is very impacted because of that bundle. And with your moon in Aquarius, you're a little prone to weird health things. So I would try and make that Virgo, it's a gibbous moon shape. It's like a Virgo feel. I would try and put that in a place where it's a little happier. So not that it's unhappy where it is, but it might make you feel a little better physically. So. But
yeah, and with it being in Aquarius, I've been feeling a lot of the community lately, and I'm looking at my chart on the 9th going, what the heck are all those aspects?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Well, good luck with it. Keep us posted. Let us know. Let us know what happens.
I will.
Yeah. And thank you for your service.
It's good to be home.
Yeah, it's nice to have you home.
Okay.
Welcome home. Yeah. Take care. Bye. All right. Do we have time for another one, Mark? Do we think we got 5 minutes?
Yeah, I think we can say something.
Okay,
let me see something. Say something.
I got somebody who's been holding for 34 minutes, so we'll try them. Hi, 858-736. You're on the air. Can we help?
Hi there. Yes, my name is Kimberly. My birthday is November 2nd, 1967.
6-7?
6-7.
Six, 6-7, okay. What time?
7. 12.05 p.m.
And place?
Glendale, California, Los Angeles area.
Okay. The Los Angeles instead of Humboldt County, okay.
Exactly. And what's your question for us today? Oh, wow. So I gotta say, What's the next, like, what am I looking for shoes to drop? wow, man. I've got an 18-year-old, like, seriously, I have an 18-year-old son. He turns 18 next Sunday. And he's just turned not really nice, like, just totally self-obsessed. And I had to fire an employee today. My brother had a stroke about 3 weeks ago. I literally banned angry outbursts in my house. I was like, okay, I'm just going to snap. If you do that, then I'll do that. And then I'll never stop screaming. And it's just been,
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you.
Yeah.
You are in your last, yeah.
Oh, my God, like, what is happening, and when is this going to stop? Because I literally just scratched the surface of what has happened to me in, like, 6 weeks, and it's been happening since December. I'm like, okay, all right, enough. Like, wow. Like, what do I look out for? How can I be balanced?
They do get better, but you've got another 2 months. Your progressed moon right now is in Scorpio, so... and it's in your 10th house, so it's very visible. And, of course, Mars is retrograde in Gemini, and literally it's age 18. And you also have Venus in Scorpio at 18. So you've been having a quincunx from the Mars. But the employees are ruled by the moon, 6th house, and moon's in Scorpio. So what you're seeing is all of this hidden stuff is emerging, right? And you're also having Pluto on your ascendant, trining Uranus, in your eighth. So you're seeing all the psychological stuff that hasn't been dealt with. And just in the general, we're seeing a lot of psychological stuff that hasn't been dealt with people, but you're not done with it. Realistically, you got another 5 months until that progressed moon gets out of Scorpio. But what you're doing, you know, you've got Saturn in Aries, which is in his detriment, and you had Jupiter on it. So what's happened is a lot of the old stuff kind of got a little crazy, and that's what you're seeing is all the old stuff. So you gather it up, you take out the trash. You gather it up, you take out the trash. And then it'll work. It'll feel better. But you're not done. You got a good more, at least a good month, but maybe as long as 5 months. Mark, what do you say?
You're in a process also. It started about 6 months ago with your progressed lunar return. And that it's the second time for you. And it's a time of rebuilding and restructuring your whole emotional base. So that, the kids are helping you. They're giving you work to do.
You had your progressed lunar return, your sun in Scorpio, and you had a progressed new moon, right? That was 15 months ago. And then 6 months ago, you had a lunar return. All the old stuff's coming up. And you also have your progressed Mercury on your sun, so like people are like vomiting in your lap is the way I would describe these transits.
Oh my God!
So you just
go,
they're vomiting in my lap. What are you doing? And then you get up and you clean the vomit off, and then you go to the next thing. Don't take it personally. It's their stuff.
Right.
You've been holding it for them for a while.
Wow.
And you know, like if you're driving the car and somebody needs to vomit, you know, you stop the car and let them get out and vomit. It's just knowing that that's part of, you're clearing a lot of stuff out where you've carried it and haven't held it accountable, and you're just not going to be able to do that anymore. So you're not doing anything wrong by yelling at everybody or telling them to leave you alone. That's important. You have what we call a finger of God in your chart that's being very activated right now, and that's part of, you know, Venus. That's part of your kid, certainly, but definitely the employee too. So probably a few more, but you know, your job is to go, okay, well, if you're not happy, you can leave. And then, they'll be back. They'll be back. Don't worry. They'll be back, or there'll be a shift, but you're clearing house. The eclipses are all over your stuff. They're saying you need to get rid of it. And, if they're that unhappy, they can go. You know, they'll slam the door and leave. And it's okay. What you get on the other side is much better. You'll like it much better.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a reception of your emotional role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear that, what he said about your emotional role?
No.
Yeah. You're reassessing your emotional role. Yeah,
I like that, Mark. Oh, I like that. I'm reassessing my emotional role. Amen, brother. Yes. I really am. Because I do feel more balanced than usual. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, not crazy. I'm just not putting up with this crap anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Good for you.
At least I'm feeling like I'm making more better decisions more quickly.
Yeah, and that's really what it's about. Yeah, it's like, you've been working on this for a while, and now it's like, I've been working on this for a while, and now it's clicking in, and I don't want to do this anymore. And part of the way, you were encouraged to do it to make your family happy. And that would do that for them, and then you get to do what you wanted. And now you're kind of like, well, I can just do what I want. I don't necessarily have to make you happy, which is a shift for you. And
yeah.
It's a good shift. It's a good shift. So think back to 94 when you last had this progressive lunation, what was going on then, because that was you kind of coming into your own about how am I going to cope in the world? And now you're looking at that plan and going, that plan worked since 94, but I need a new plan.
Right.
And you're developing
it
over the. Yeah, you're developing it over the next 5 months. Yeah.
Got it. So there's just work to do.
Okay.
I can do
work.
I can
adapt.
Yep, I can
and
do that.
You got a lot of Virgo planets, so you can totally do the work. Yeah. So.
Yes, ma'am. Oh my God, love my Virgos.
We're great.
Wow.
We're good. We love our Virgos too. All right. Well, good luck with it. Yeah. 18-year-old. Look at your Venus is in Scorpio at 18, right? So what was going on for you at that age? Your moon was in Scorpio at 18. So your sun is repeating that. So you just kind of think about what you were doing. Well, no, it's a different version of it. So you kind of go, all right, I get it.
Yeah. I'm trying to get it. Sweet little boys just turned like yuck.
Well, that's okay.
He's amazing.
Swamps are fun. You have to kind of think swamps are fun, and they're very fertile, but they're also swamps. So, good.
Yeah. You guys are awesome. I really appreciate what you do and the time you press. And that guy before, what a great show. Really enjoyed tonight's show.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you liked it. Good. All right. Well, good luck.
I always
do.
Thank you.
All right.
Did
take
I keep
care.
You on?
You're welcome.
Heather.
Oh, we lied. Clicked the button. Sorry. Yeah, Heather. I don't know what happened to Heather tonight, but Ann Ortley signing off from the Bray Red Desk the Turquoise Desk, overlooking Boca Ciega Bay. And Mark?
Mark Waltz, overlooking the Hudson River, signing off. Thank you all for listening.
And Heather, wherever she is, may she be good. Yeah. All right. Talk to you all next week. Bye.
Okay. I know.